gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
All right, well, good afternoon, good morning, good night if you're listening to my podcast, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the His Stories broadcast. We have a great show ahead of you, ahead of us, so why don't we just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. It's the day that you've made. So whether they're listening on a Saturday, whether they're listening by podcast, it's the day that you've made, Lord. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to, again, make God famous. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How's it going, Kevin?
Good, Gil. I should be asking you. I know you had a busy morning. Just a little bit, what happened this morning for you?
I went to go speak at the chapel service over at Hope Ministries.
Went
really well. I had a great conversation afterwards with a lot of the residents, and so it went well.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, yours was much more productive probably than mine. I got up this morning, there was a Bible study I had with some other guys, which that was great. It was fun. But then I had a mixture of things. I was able to take a guy from the hospital home and needed to get home.
Okay.
But after that, and this is what's still kind of ringing in my head, I watched this YouTube thing where this guy had this pet snake and he was like scaring people with it. And so that's still kind of unfortunately ringing in my head. But
really? Well, hope that doesn't come out in the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it just did.
Yeah, it did.
So I got to get past the juvenile part, Stooges type thing that's going in my head right now.
But real quick, how was your Father's Day?
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. It was it was one of those times where anytime you get to relax a little bit, instead of going somewhere or anything like that, I spent probably most of the day just relaxing. So thanks. And yours?
It was good. Good. Yeah. Just enjoyed service. And then I don't give anyone any visuals, but I was extremely relaxed just laying in bed and binge watching videos. And my wife just like, you hang out, just be relaxed. Nice. And then hung out with my son. And then my wife made some really good food, and I ate way more than I should have.
Okay, good, good.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
But it was a good day.
Okay. Well, in Jesus' name, we have a wonderful guest with us this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, she's been a friend of mine for a very long time, and it's been a couple decades.
I think so.
At least. And her name is Michelle Helmkamp, so I'd like to introduce her as a friend, but also as a woman who deeply loves the Lord. And so glad to have you, Michelle.
Thanks, Kevin, very much. Yes, yeah. I think it has been several decades. I'm not sure. And then, Gil, it's good to meet you today.
Pleasure to meet you as well. Yeah, we go way back, like, what? Good 45 minutes.
Yeah. Long enough to bond over the Cavs and the Warriors.
Yes.
We're on the same side of that
My condolences.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what we'd like to do is be able to just hear your story, what God has written on you. And the one thing that we have been really taking a look at is a lot of times you hear these someone will come in, they'll have this like big transformation story. And those are wonderful. God has used that. But what we'd like to do is you have everybody has their own story. And what we like to hear is the story that God has written on your heart. And you had parents that – I'm going to let you tell the story. You can tell a whole much better than I can. But I know that you had parents that deeply loved the Lord, and they brought you into church. And so maybe that's where I can start you out with. And if you could just share with us, and then we'll just ask you questions as time goes on.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm glad to do that. Yes, I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
And yet now I serve my current role, besides wife and mom, is to be the children's ministry director at Harvest Bible Chapel. And I've really had to think through what my thoughts are on children who grow up in the church, because we all know that just sitting in church your whole life. That's not where it's at necessarily. Yeah. There has to be a point in every child's life. And when you grow up just kind of thinking, well, I always have been a Christian. Mm-hmm. When I hear that, right. or I've always been a Christian, that is a red flag to me. Yeah. So I've had to look at my own life and my own testimony and just think that through.
Yeah.
So for me, I was born and raised until the age of 12 in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
And things were different out there than they are here, especially back then. My parents were what I would call kind of Christian hippies. They were singing from songbooks and not hymnals and doing life together with other Christians. Mm. So I remember I was 4 years old, and we were watching Billy Graham on our little black and white Sony TV. Mm. And I asked my parents if I could receive Jesus into my tummy at that time. So that shows you the level of understanding. But right. that has been the point at which I have said that I became a Christian. I have had to look at that. And you know, obviously, there wasn't a full understanding at age four
sure.
of my sin and repentance. And yet I do believe that you know, Jesus calls the children to him, and he is faithful, and he answered that prayer
yeah,
right then.
Right.
So that's my point of salvation. But I loved it. And last week we had a new pastor speaking, and he talked about how if you go forward, for instance, in a service, and you pray and ask, tell God you're going to follow him, but and let's say Jesus was right there with you, and then Jesus, you know, started to walk out of the sanctuary, and you didn't stay with him, if you didn't continue to follow him,
right.
that's not following him.
Yeah.
Yes, there needs to be a one-time decision, but then there are many, many, many daily, hourly times where you are choosing to follow him.
Right.
And so that is my testimony, and there's ups and downs in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I became sanctified at age four. So, but I did. I've had fantastic Christian parents who really walked the walk.
Sure.
We had a great community there. We like to say at our current church that we worship, walk, and work together.
Right.
Well, I was in a church way back, like 45 years ago, that was doing that then.
Yeah.
And I have many memories of waking up and seeing my dad having his quiet time. Mm. Very impactful. And I knew that he was a man of prayer.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, seeing that, trusting in that, you know, my current favorite songs is, you know, Good Father.
Yeah.
And I was blessed
That's
with
a great
that.
Song.
And it's an awesome song.
Yeah.
We sang it on Father's Day, and I don't have a messed up version of what God the Father is like, because I did. I had great, great parents. But it's pretty easy to be a Christian in that atmosphere. My best friend was a pastor's daughter. She lived around the corner. Mm. Life was pretty good.
Great.
At that point.
Yeah.
And not perfect. We were in public school, but I was surrounded by other Christian friends, and things were pretty good. Until the age of 12, when my whole life really turned upside down. We decided to leave Oregon and move back here to South Bend to be part of a family business. My dad did. So he went from being a school teacher and those hours to business, retail, where he was gone a lot.
Full blown.
My mom had a new baby, which I love my little sister. But, when I was 12, that changed the focus in the family quite a bit. And I kind of went from thinking that everybody in the world was a Christian to thinking nobody was. It was the year at South Bend schools were in a huge uproar, and nobody knew I was new. And there was just some hard things about that. Plus, we had a really hard time finding a new church.
Sure.
Took us probably a year to settle in on one. And then between the sixth grade and ninth grade, we switched churches three times.
Wow.
And
what school did you go to?
I went to Swanson. And then in Clay.
Okay.
Yeah. So So we ended up switching three times. And I understand it was they were looking for what we had. And at that time, the churches here were pretty traditional. I mean, I'd grown up in the church, but I did not know how to read from a hymnal. Because I mean, I was trying to read it line by line instead of stanza.
Compared from where you're from.
Compared to just a little picture of, wow, this is just a different culture.
Yeah.
And so in that, I tried to make my youth group, my friends, and the core Christians. But when you switch three times in 3 years like that,
it's impossible.
By the time I entered high school, I really was more identifying with my friends at school, who at that time none of them were believers.
Sure.
Can I ask you this, Michelle? Yeah. How did you perceive your father, or your parents, going through that church, like trying to find what you guys had in Oregon, and not seeing that type of community, that kind of lifestyle? Mm-hmm. I see how it affected you, but also watching your parents go through it, did it affect you as well?
One of the things that stands out to me, Gil, is that I respected the way that they did it. We weren't church jumping.
Hopping, just,
You know, my parents would always, when we left the one church that I had been the most plugged into and was saddest to leave, they went and they spoke to that pastor about it. And not in a way of, like,
this
we're leaving.
This is not meeting our needs.
But when you enter into a church and you become a member, you are in a relationship. It's a covenant relationship. And they didn't take that lightly. Mm. But I think they were following what God had for them. And, it was just taking a while to find it.
Gotcha.
And they were in mourning for what we had had. When you've had community, and, you know, we were doing small groups and things like that before that was
popular
here or known. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it just took a while. You know, you know how it is. The West Coast gets things or the East Coast gets things, and it slowly moves
in
way into to the Midwest. And so that was a little bit. I don't hold any, disappointment or anything in them with that. I understand why that was, but it played a big role in just a continued disconnectedness for me. And no excuses, but I started to make some wrong choices in high school that, and just identify more with my friends in high school and try to please them as opposed to God. But I look back on that time and, believed that in God, was not wanting to forsake my relationship with him, but was not strong and was not, doing a great job of following him in the way that I knew I should. But I do look back and see God's sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And he was protecting me, and he still had his hand on my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so thankful. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a sinner saved by grace. And I look at that, and I'm so thankful for God's sovereign hand over me. And he knew what the plans he had for me. And he was being, he's just long-suffering and gracious. Mm-hmm. You know, because he could have not been so gracious to me, but he was. So when it came time to go to college, I just knew. Most of my friends were going to IU, and I just knew. That's just not, I had not been able to stand up the way I wanted to in high school. And I knew I needed to put myself in a better position. And like I said before, I knew my dad was a man of prayer.
Right.
And I leaned heavily on his, because knowing I was not in a place I wanted to be with the Lord, I leaned on his wisdom and his discernment. Went and visited Taylor, and I had a piece about it. And I look back now, and I really see the hand of God on that, because it is landlocked in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it just really is. There's no shopping. There's one yellow light.
So you made your decision to go to college and not follow your friends based on the fact that, you know what, I know where I am in life, and I don't like the direction that things are going in.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to pick right up with this and hear how everything happened post-college. And then what happened in your life afterwards. And we're going to pick up that story right after this message. So we'll be right back.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenga Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
All right, and we are back. By the way, yeah, you did hear those sponsored messages. And if you are interested in becoming a sponsor of our show, go ahead and hit us up on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Or use our contact us page on the website at historiesbroadcast.com or historiespodcast.com. And let us know if you'd be interested in becoming a sponsor as well. All right. Well,
yeah.
As promised, we are jumping right back into Michelle's story, her testimony. And where we left off was Michelle talking us about her decision to choose a college based on where her friends weren't going. And so, yeah.
Hey, well, let me ask you this before we go into it. How hard of a decision was that? Was it a fairly easy one to make, or was there some grieving that took place over that as well?
No, I wanted it was not hard.
Okay.
No, God made it easy, and he gave me peace about it. And I really only applied there. I just was feeling clearly led there. And I said a lot from what my dad, trusting what my dad, but I am just sure it's where God had for me.
Yeah.
And from the very first week at Taylor, you have a spiritual renewal week where they, on top of chapels in the morning, you would come in the evening. And I don't remember the guy's name, but he talked about D-Day and the beachheads and the taking over in the war of that area on D-Day, and just the spiritual idea of spiritual beachheads, of areas that you need to turn over to the Lord. And that was just a time where God got a hold of my life in a new way.
Wow.
Only God has the power to change our hearts, but he began a new work in me then. And really something that has never changed. One of the I just have a quote here, just thinking about, you know, for those of us who have grown up and have always believed, but there has to be a time of repentance where you clearly see your sin and you turn from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I'd had points where I'd said yes to God and yes to God, and some times where I'd said no to God throughout my life. But this is a great one from Paul David Tripp in New Morning Mercies. He says, here's how confession works. You cannot confess what you haven't grieved. You can't grieve what you do not see. Mm. And you cannot repent of what you have not confessed. Mm. So one of the most important operations of God's grace is to give us eyes to see our sin and hearts that are willing to confess it. Mm. And that's kind of what started to happen to me. He just started to reveal my sin to me. Mm. And I grieved. Mm. And I gave it over to him. One of the areas that I gave over to him was the area of lying, lying to myself. Mm. And God in his goodness has made that. It's like there's a touch on that area of my life. And, you know, people who like have the story of like they used to smoke and then bam, they don't smoke at all anymore.
Right,
and it's just a clear work of God.
Yeah.
That area of lying is like that for me. Like, I just was a little liar. I could just lie to myself, and I could just, you know, rationalize things. And God made that just good.
Wow.
And
it's
just not an area I've ever struggled with again. Mm. And to his glory and his grace.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
His grace, not to be like, I'm not, I'm perfect. No, I am a sinner saved by grace. And that area that was so like a worst, ugly area in me, God has made better than new.
Wow.
I think to point to him.
Yeah.
I think to point to him. And there were just there were things like that. So just began, you know, a person who grows up hearing scripture their whole life at home and in church, it can just become a dull roar kind of.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, God just made it new and like technicolor and started applying it in my life. I became almost legalistic about having my quiet time. I would not go to bed without having my quiet time. You know, college student, you know, they say have it in the morning, but a college student for me, it was like fit it in. I would do it at night.
Yeah.
And I did Oswald Chambers' book and the word and would journal. And that really began a lifelong pursuit of knowing God that hasn't changed. And there's been different areas or different ways, you know, then I got involved in small groups at Taylor, and that's been something I've continued to be in throughout my life, either through Bible study fellowship or through church.
Right.
And so, that's kind of, I've just continued then to pursue him. Then right after that first year at Taylor Wright, just got poured into and poured into and poured into through chapels, through professors. My aunt sent me a brochure about this camp called Camp Rayburd in South Bend. I'd never heard of it. But kind of like my leading to go to Taylor, it was very clear. Mm. I didn't apply to do anything else that summer. Mm. And I filled out the application and sight unseen went to Camp Rayburd and was a counselor. And I just see that as part of God's plan. And when you get poured up into, you know, that there has to be a giving out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or you're not going to continue to grow. Well, God grew me there. I mean, that's tough work.
It is, yeah. What I've heard is there's some camp counselors, they'll go to other places, but when they compare to go to Camp Rayburn, it is a work,
to
say the least.
Blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah. But, I mean, can you have any greater joy than to bring multiple kids to the Lord over the summer?
And a lot of these kids are inner city, so if those that don't know about Camp Rayburn, it's a wonderful camp, but it's at low cost as well for those kids.
And local. Yeah. I mean, I like to tell our youth group, you don't have to go overseas to have a cross-cultural experience or to really, pour your life out for the Lord. In fact, our youth group, some of our youth group at Harvest Bible Chapel are there this week.
Great.
And it just brings me joy to see them doing that. So,
can I ask you a quick question? You went to Taylor, which is a Christian college, university. And I'm sure being at a Christian college, you probably saw other students who probably more than likely grew up in Christian homes.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, is it harder to grow up around Christendom and Christianity and Christian faith? Or is it, in your opinion, is it easier to not have done it and then to hear the gospel? Because like you said, hearing the gospel, hearing scripture, hearing preaching, it almost, if you grew up around it, it almost becomes white noise.
Yeah.
You kind of, it becomes familiar. Was it a struggle? Did you see a struggle among other students?
I sure did.
Okay.
I sure did. I had a friend who was right next door to us who had grown up in Christian school, K-12, and then came to Taylor. Mm-hmm. And she flipped out. I mean,
like,
she
totally,
just totally, really? Aside from the hand of her parents over her. And I remember just being sad for some of the people who would sit in Bible class and be bored and yawning when I had not had that privilege. I had been in public school my whole life.
Okay.
So it's something my husband and I have really grasped, wrestled with.
Yeah.
We personally have chosen to send our kids to Christian school through middle school and then have put them in public school. Our oldest kids, the idea, it has served well.
Mm-hmm.
They have seen clearly a black and white difference of there's a choice to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you have to wait till your kids go to college to hear, Mom and Dad, you were right. But our kids in high school have seen the difference and seen that following the way of the Lord is not only right, but it is, good for your life. It's something I wrestle, like I said, with being a children's ministry director. I think one of the saddest things in the world is for people to grow up in church and sit in the back row their whole life and assume they are saved.
Yeah.
Right.
Our pastor talks about that a lot. This last week, we had 12 people come forward and get saved at our church. And that's kind of what he was talking about. He talked about how he sat there and he prayed the prayer with another guy about the same age, of age 15. And then, but the fruit was for one, and then there was not fruit for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And only, like I said earlier, only God can change your heart. It's not about a prayer. We just did VBS last week at our church. We had about 300 kids come.
Wow.
Some kids did come to the Lord, but I am careful about not doing just an altar call where there's a pressure to do that. One of my favorite stories was a little girl who went home and then told her parents that she needed to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And that she prayed with her parents and she thought about, there wasn't
an emotional response.
So I think there needs to be a point. Mm-hmm. But when you do grow up in the church, it's there's going to be points too, because you're gonna, I like to say to my kids, it is about saying yes to Jesus for what you understand at that point.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
because what you understood at 4 years old isn't the same.
It's different. But I said yes to Jesus for what I understood at that time.
Right.
Yeah. And then there were other times I said yes to Jesus again.
Right.
And then there were But there has to be proof. There has to be proof.
Fruit.
There has to be fruit. And if there's not, and you've just sat in church your whole life and thought, I'm saved because I'm good, or I'm saved because I go to church, that, I think, is one of the biggest ways that Satan is duping people right now.
Huge deception.
And it concerns me, and it concerns me that I be no part of that as a children's ministry director, that we don't give children false hope that because they just prayed a prayer. There has to be a continued growth and sanctification.
Yeah. Good.
So I can't not mention my husband.
I know. It's like we only have a few minutes.
I know,
but please,
and I haven't gotten to him yet. But I met him at Camp Rayburn that first year.
Right.
And, and you know, I talk to kids, or my kids are getting older now, and I'm just like, just look for somebody who loves the Lord. Mm. You will not have to be a nagging wife if you understand that your husband, if he loves the Lord first, I can trust that my husband is going to get it right in the end. I don't have to be the one that puts it in his face because he is listening to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he was a huge part of the continual sanctification of Michelle Helmkamp. I say that in love, not because we've had a great marriage, but it's hard.
I
remember that first year marriage, and I remember learning I am a selfish person and learning about communication.
Yeah.
We came from very different communication styles.
Yeah.
But I've grown through that. And then another sanctifying process has been becoming the mother of four.
Right.
That'll sanctify you.
Three boys and a girl, and they're all very different. But that pushes you to the Lord, to be in the Word early, because they get up early. Mm. But it also has been my greatest joy. I feel like I was created to be a mom and have loved being a mom. Their age is 22 down to 13 now. And
and you're pouring now into them
the
faith.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Trying to do that and model that to them and be there for them. And I stayed home with them for 15 years. But during that time, I continued to put myself in situations where I was growing the gifts that God had given me. I was a Bible study fellowship children's leader, worked at the church that Kevin and I attended for 15 years together. We were at an inner city church and worked in the children's ministry there. And I see God's hand in that. Those were just small yeses at the time.
Right.
But I look now at what God had for me in being the children's ministry director at Harvest and see how he was preparing me for that. It's not like I pursued that or thought, but when my last one got in school full time, that was hard for me.
Yeah.
You had all the still chores of doing the dishes and the laundry and the dinner, but no little buddy to do it with anymore. And so God, in his goodness, gave me kind of a second life now. Mm-hmm. 15 year stay at home mom, and now am just really taking the heart of being a mom and my love for the Lord, and using that hopefully to glorify him at church.
Yeah, I would say that as well. And just to wrap up, because we only have we're almost out of time.
All right.
It's so sad to be out of time, but I want to say this to you as a friend and as to see you as just a Christian woman of faith. I've been able to see your life for now several decades, and just to know that the Lord is at the head of your decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been evident when I've seen your life, and I've seen also your husband's life and your family as well. And I hope that speaks a blessing to you as well, because
it's been
very, very wonderful. So
unfortunately,
we got to end, but I'd love to be able to break off with a prayer as well. So, dear Father in heaven, we just give you praise. I thank you that you have, at the age of four, Michelle has experienced you, and throughout her whole entire life, that she has been able to say yes. Lord, I thank you for pursuing us, to being a good, good father. Mm. And that's what's been evident, I think, through this whole time of just discussing and talking about you, really. So we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.